Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today on the show, I'm so excited to welcome back Kendra Tierney Norton. Kendra is a wife, a mother of 10, an author, and the founder of Catholic All Year, where she shares practical, creative, and joy-filled ways for families to live out their Catholic faith at home. And today, we're diving into how to build those meaningful traditions that can strengthen family values and then cultivate the virtue of fortitude in our homes. So Kendra, welcome back, and we're so glad to have you on the show again.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So for those who have not listened to the podcast that you were on a couple seasons ago, could you tell us a little bit about your family life and also how you kind of founded this incredible, well, I mean, you wrote this book, Catholic All Year, and just kind of talk with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my husband and I had 10 kids. And in the, you know, as the youngest ones were, as the oldest ones were, you know, getting of age and starting to ask questions, you know, that's what really inspired me to want to understand more about the Catholic faith. Yeah. I think, you know, kids are so motivational for parents in that way, at least that's how it happened for me. And so that's really what inspired me to sort of find out more about it really started off as, I want to understand the rules, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? And as I was looking for those, I discovered all of these beautiful traditions and these ways of observing the faith, ways of learning about the faith. That I, even though I was raised, my husband and I were both raised Catholic, but, you know, without these kind of traditions. And I realized, hey, it's not just the hard stuff. There's also this whole world of fun stuff that I wasn't even aware of. And, you know, as I got more into it, I realized, hey, this is, the liturgical calendar is this framework that can help us observe the faith in our home, learn more about it, and in a way that you know that's gentle, that comes back around again, that just sort of feels like family life, and I just wanted to tell people about it, so I started a blog. Goodness, this was in 2010 ish, and yeah, so I started this blog back at, you know, right at the end of the mommy blogging movement. And that became a book, and that became shop, and you know, now I do public speaking, and I just want to get the word out on, you know, on helping parents to you know, to adopt some of these traditions and just generally trying to keep Catholicism weird, because I think it's really fun.
Yes. I love that you mentioned gentle, like you used a couple terms. I love that you mentioned gentle and then how it just kind of fit in with family life. Yeah. Can you explain? So obviously we have a lot of Catholic listeners. We also have some people that are not Catholic that listen to our show. Can you just give us a brief overview of like the what does that mean to have like a liturgical calendar? And then what would that look like if you were to say, let's implement it as a family?
Yeah. The funny thing is the first sort of sense I got of this way of living was from a very long novel that chronicles the life of a medieval Swedish woman. Oh. Fiction. But yeah, it's called Kristin Lavrum's Daughter. It's a beautiful book. But the thing that really stuck with me with it was it just, they had this rhythm of life, and the things that they did were sort of tied to different seasons and different feast days, and not, you know, around the natural world and around the church calendar. So that was the first that sort of inspired me to look into it. Like, what is this? So the liturgical calendar, we have seasons, just like, you know, we have seasons secularly, and there's different devotions that are associated with different months. There are different days that are associated with particular saints and events in the life of Jesus and the Holy Family in the early church. And it's interesting if you look there, the encyclical in which the Feast of Christ the King was established, the Pope actually specifically says that the reason that we institute feast days is to reach the laity. That if I wanted to, you know, reach the learned, to reach the clergy, you know, I would just write a letter about this. I would write a paper on it. But when we want to reach the laity, when we want to teach the laity something, we institute a feast day. And it's such a beautiful concept. And in my experience, it really does allow us, you know, to focus our prayer differently, to have, like I keep saying rhythm, but to have this rhythm of life that the seasons of Advent and Lent are seasons of, you know, preparation and of penance. And then we have seasons of celebration. We have these different devotions for different months, like, you know, for instance, November is the month of the Holy Souls. June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart. So it allows us, it's that little nudge, like, hey, you know, do you want to give this devotion a try? And the ones that we really love, you know, we can keep doing more often. And the ones that maybe didn't fit in quite this year, well, maybe we'll try that again. And then there's the individual saints days and these historic feast days that really give us an opportunity to get to know these saints that the church holds up to us as models for our behavior. And they're so different from one another. That's the beautiful thing about, you know, introducing them to a family, is there's no one way to be a saint. And it's so comforting in that way, because there are saints who, you know, were very, you know, quiet and meek. And there are saints who are really go-getters. And there are saints who were holy their whole lives, and there are saints who really stumbled and came back. And I think there's a lot of comfort in there. And they had different devotions to, you know, different ways of prayers and ways of praying. So it's, and also, you know, all over the world and throughout time. And I think that it really gives us that sense that this is, you know, it's a universal church, and, you know, and there's a place for everyone in it. That's great. So I have found a lot of support, and a lot of comfort in the liturgical calendar, which, you know, you wouldn't think, but but it can be so overwhelming. It can be so overwhelming for ourselves. You know, it's easy if it's just go to Mass on Sunday. All right, great. Like, I will go to Mass, I will come back. But once you start feeling that pull to, like, I want this to be my whole, I want this to be incorporated, woven into the fabric of my daily life. I don't want my faith to be a place I go for an hour and a half on Sunday. I want it to be who I am. And I want to provide that for my family, for my children as well. And that can feel daunting. But you know, that's where the liturgical calendar comes in and can really help us to incorporate those things.
Yeah, I love that. And you mentioned, you know, you started this blog 15 years ago.
Yeah.
2010, 15 years ago. How did your family kind of respond to you starting, I guess, to start to incorporate those seasons in your life, those feast days? Did you have any pushback? Was there anything that, you know, any fun stories you have for that?
I mean, we started when my kids were kind of younger, and and also one lovely aspect of these feast days are that it's not like, all right, sit down, kids. It's the feast of the Trinity. So we're going to have a little, you know, we're going to have a lesson on this, you know, unknowable mystery of the church. No, there are fun recipes and activities that have been associated with these feast days for a really long time. So you have that, you know, positive aspect of, you know, one of the first things we started doing was for the feast of, for Michaelmas, the feast of the archangels for St. Michael. And we decided to build a devil pinata out of cardboard boxes. Nice. And in honor of the feast day, which celebrates St. Michael and his, casting the devil out of heaven, we would hit the devil pinata with swords. And, nice. If you triumph over evil, then you get candy reward, which, maybe it's not exactly that straightforward in real life, but I think that there's a truth to it.
That's great. That's hilarious. Well, and that also makes it so, tangible to a certain degree, especially if you have littles, you know, obviously it's a very visual experience to have to hit a pinata that's designed as like a devil and stuff, but that's awesome. As you have kind of established this somewhat routine, I guess, in celebrating the liturgical calendar throughout the year, how have you noticed your family life change for the better, in embracing kind of this understanding of our faith? And then also, just maybe each, I don't know, you don't have to go through each individual child, but just mm-hmm. like how they've embraced it themselves.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely something that in our home has worked for, all the age groups. And it's cool to witness how the bigger kids sort of start to take ownership of some of these traditions. And, anybody who has kids knows that if you do something one time, then it's an unchangeable tradition that must happen again every year. Our family has experienced challenges, and we can get into that if we want to. But to see the big kids stepping up and wanting these traditions to continue for the little kids, and all of us getting to experience these traditions, these saints' days, these conversations that we have as a family again and again at different age groups, and being able to really take new things from them. So it's not just, blind repetition. It's that you really can, you can learn a very small basic thing, as a toddler. And you can learn more and complicated and more nuanced things, as you get older. And and so I think there is a great benefit for this sort of, this repetition and rhythm that the church recommends.
Yeah. And if you are willing to share, just about maybe how has this kind of plan of, living routines and things like that helped you and your family in the midst of struggles, and I don't know, has provided some probably support for you guys.
Yeah. You said the word resilient earlier, and, and that's been really sort of a core virtue for our family. And I never expected that, that these kinds of traditions would actually buoy us up in the way that they did. So, early on in my marriage, my husband was diagnosed with melanoma cancer. He went into remission for about 10 years. And, it was during that time that we established all of these family traditions, that we really, developed these, these recipes that we would use, or, found them. And these family traditions that we would do as a family again and again. And then in 2020, we found out that the cancer was back, or actually, more likely had just never been gone. My husband was a real fighter, and he, he had a lot of treatments and worked really hard. But, he passed away in 2022. And throughout that, throughout that process, it was such a comfort to us to have some of those routines. And, you know, as I was saying, my bigger kids taking over some of those, you know, my teenagers and 20 somethings taking over some of the responsibility for some of those traditions when, you know, we were in the hospital, when we couldn't mm-hmm. be there, or, I mean, we have beautiful memories of having our traditional recipes, like for the Feast of St. Joseph, we do this funny thing called pasta alla tavola, where you dump you dump spaghetti on the table and we eat with our hands because St. Joseph worked with his hands. It's a bit of a stretch, but the pasta alla tavola is an actual like thing that exists. And so we've sort of adapted that for this feast day, but we did that with the whole family in the courtyard outside the hospital. And I like wheeled Jim out in his wheelchair. Wow. And so we, you know, were able to keep joy and keep some sense of normalcy during challenging times, and to be able to point to, you know, not only to point to like, hey, here's a thing we can do. Here's a thing we can, you know, make sure to get to as a family. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side of that is that when things are too hard to do, you always have recourse of, you know what, this is going to happen again next year. And I can, you know, I can walk away from this year. This year, this one, it just isn't going to happen. But it's going to come around next year. And so it's not like we've just thrown everything out the window. It's that, you know, not this year, but don't worry, it's going to come back around again. But for us, there was a lot of, you know, through COVID, through hospitalizations, through surgeries, you know, when churches were closed, we had recourse to our family traditions, and it gave us, again, this sort of sense of continuity through, you know, that through line of our family life and the, you know, the history and the life of the church. Mm-hmm. And then almost a year ago now, I got remarried. And so, you know, through that now, my husband has 4 kids of his own who are all older, but, you know, now we're sort of creating new family memories and, you know, and able to sort of, you know, use these traditions to, you know, build new family experiences and new family memories. And, so it has worked for us in many stages of life in through many challenges. It has been such a blessing. It's been such a blessing in our life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you. And thank you for sharing. I know, wow, it's pretty, you have a beautiful story. And I love that you mentioned resilience again and just your family. And you did mention also another thing about unity, like unifying your life. And I'm sure as things have changed, you know, over time, like it looks different to how to unify. But I love that you've talked about like, okay, well, it happens every year. You know, it comes back. It's the same thing every year. And I think, you know, we can get stuck in monotony or those things. But in the end, it's like actually it's like a renewal every year. You can try something new each time or bring something new. And I love that, you know, with your family and your husband now, like you're trying to build those traditions again. I think that's just, go ahead. Yeah.
Specifically, we've had such success trying new things that we want to take up or give up during Lent. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a gift. And I used to see Lent as this like horrible, like, ugh, you know, I'm going to have to not eat chocolate or whatever. But I've come to really appreciate Lent as that sort of push to give things a try and think like, hey, can I detach from this thing that I, you know, you hear people say like, oh, I couldn't live without blank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have my list of those things too. Mm-hmm. And really, like I have been able to, through many years of trying and failing and trying again, mm-hmm. you know, to convince myself that I can detach from those things. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's been great to do that with with the kids too, to help them understand like these things that we enjoy, they don't have to control us, you know, that we can choose to give up good things for a good reason. Mm-hmm. And so I really do. I love that now. I love that Lent comes in and like busts up my world a little bit. And then, you know, and then I drift back to a place of a little more comfort over the summer. And then, you know, then I get ready to do it again. And again, that feeling of cycle and the feeling of, all right, you know, what am I going to try again?
Mm-hmm. And you, I bet you're such a, I mean, I'm speaking for your kids, but I bet you're such a beautiful example to your children of just recognizing, okay, yeah, things you live through certain experiences, but then also it's, you know, you represent a lot of joy too, overcoming, you know, struggles and hardships and you have 10 kids, which I love also. And I'm just wondering, was it like, what would you say to parents who, let's say, have, a, you know, 10 kids, they might have not that many kids or whatever, you know, but they're like, oh, I want this so badly, but like, I don't even know where to begin, how to implement this.
Yeah, well, and between my husband and I, 14 now. So
14, I know, yeah.
Sounds like, even better, right?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, so I always tell people that it's really like, it's a change of mindset more than anything. It really like it's a slow adoption of a new way of living, but you know, this new mindset, this new lifestyle, but it's infinitely customizable and can be made to work in any circumstance, you know, by any people. And the key is, number one, it's just to be aware that the liturgical calendar exists. So you got to get a calendar that has that has the church feast days on it. They usually give them out during Advent for free at most parishes. We sell one at catholicallyear.com that I think is cuter, but
designed well.
But just to be aware of the feast days. And then just try to think about ways that work with your life to incorporate some of these beautiful Catholic traditions. And I talk about it in my book, The Catholic All Year Compendium, you know, and ideas for ways that you can celebrate all year round these different feast days. But it can be, for us, family dinner has really been sort of the focal point, because I think that's something that's so, so important anyway for families to be doing. And, you know, if you can institute some sort of, you know, one big change, I would say, you know, focus on family dinners, getting to family dinners as often as possible and really fighting to protect those. And then that gives you this, you know, blank slate on which you can build these traditions. So looking for ways to incorporate, you know, a meal, something that you already cook, but it's Italian, so you do it for the Italian saint, or it's tacos for the Mexican martyrs, or, and that just sort of gets conversation flowing, right? That, like, let me tell you why I made this for dinner. And then again, the kids start getting excited because we always have this meal on this day. And so it's something to look forward to. As far as like, the, you know, ways to really start small. I like to have sort of an inward focus. Like I said before, like the kids are so motivational for me on getting started on these things. So the way we really started was what we call the three special days for everybody in the family. And when you have a big, big family, it's great to single people out to be special.
Yeah.
At least 3 days. So that's your birthday, your baptism day, and your name day, which is the feast day of the saint after what you're named, or if, like me, you have the name of that is not currently a canonized saint, not yet.
Not yet.
Saint Kendra yet. Then your patron saint. If you've been confirmed, your confirmation saint, I use my confirmation saint as my special day. And you just get those days on your calendar. You're probably already celebrating birthday, but it's really a way to show kids that we believe what we say we believe, because it's a way to like walk the walk and talk the talk. that if we believe what we say we believe about baptism, it gets definitely more important than your birthday. Like, I'm glad you were born, but I'm really glad you're baptized. So we celebrate those 3 days, and I want to make sure that my kids all know, as a friend, their patron saint, so that you know, that this person that we named them after can be an inspiration for them. And in our house, we really, like I said, we focus in on dinner, but the kids will either do a meal that's traditionally associated with that saint, or the kids get to pick whatever they want. And, yes. And so they get to pick, if I plan ahead enough, they get to pick anything and I'll go to the store. If I only noticed today that it is your special day, then you get to pick from anything we have in the house. And we have a dessert. And it helps it that we have, that we backed off of having desserts on non-feast days, so that that really felt special. And then just looking, you know, giving yourself credit for liturgical living that you're already doing. Like, I'm sure you have traditions during Advent, you have traditions, you know, for Christmas and things that you do for Lent. And so you're already doing liturgical living in the home. So to, you know, to build on that and just look for traditions that, that will work with what you're doing and work with your family life and work with the ages of your kids. But, you know, people who spend a lot of time in the car, you can do a lot of liturgical living in the car. You know, you can find a you know, a podcast that does the daily readings. You can, you know, get to mass a little more often. You can say a rosary in the car. And even if you're going to go out to eat, you could pick, you know, the type of food that you're going to have based on what saint day it is. So there's lots of, you know, it's infinitely customizable. I'm kind of a homebody, so I like to do it at home, but you don't have to.
I love that. Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, you know, as your kids are older now, that they kind of started taking ownership kind of their liturgical year. How does that look now in your family life with, yeah, your older kids? That, what does that mean to take ownership? Do they start planning? Do they, you know, make meals? What, how's that look?
Yeah. So things like, you know, they really wanted to start going to, you know, they like going to the Easter Vigil, and that was a hard sell for me at first. And then, because, you know, I'm an early bed, early to rise kind of gal. Like, we're going to do what? But the Easter Vigil ended up being, you know, it is just such a beautiful mass and so meaningful and very, very long and very late at night. But now we have this family tradition where we go to the Easter Vigil. We, you know, break our fast afterwards by like going, driving through a fast food restaurant and getting milkshakes and burgers. And then we come home and I go to bed and the big kids take care of set up for the next morning.
Nice.
And then I get to come down and be surprised with with the kids at what the Easter money brought. So, you know, things like that. But then also getting to I sort of can tend to try to get things done, you know, quickly and efficiently whenever possible. I think, you know, moms of big families can, you know, definitely often lean in that direction. But feast days really give me that motivation to bring people in and, you know, let's cook this together. Let's, you know, plan this together. We've got a big family meal that we always do for Holy Thursday. And we have a sort of Last Supper dinner where we kind of try to replicate what Jesus and the apostles might have eaten that at the Last Supper. And it's one of our favorite days of the year, and it's very busy. And we, you know, we end up spending a lot of the day in the kitchen, all working together. But, you know, people tend to like sort of take a particular recipe that they want to do, and whether it's, you know, the applesauce or who's making the lamb and who's making the jelly. And so again, it's these things that we come back to, over and over, and it's, you know, a way to teach the kids, you know, how to meal plan, how to mm-hmm. cook. All of those things have sort of always happened for us in association with the liturgical calendar, because again, it's that little push of motivation that I need to, you know, be a better homemaker and a better mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. And I love how at the very end you mentioned just like, yeah, it's teaching your kids these certain skills and things like that. Are there any other virtues that you've seen kind of just flourish amongst you, your children and your family members while incorporating this liturgical year?
Yeah, I would say just that familiarity with the lives of the saints. I think it does give people a lot of comfort in challenging situations. And I talk about that, you know, a family prayer life really is this toolbox that we can give our kids, that to even know that there is such a thing as a novena or a litany, to know that, you know, in a challenging time, you know, we have recourse to Eucharistic adoration or particular types of prayers that so they have that in their toolbox that they can pull mm-hmm. out, and they know these different saints, and they know saints who have gone through the same kinds of challenges that they've gone through and mm-hmm. have gone through things that are much, much harder. And it mm-hmm. puts things, you know, in perspective. And also, you know, like you were mentioning before, that joy, that being able to find joy in the midst of difficult circumstances, and the fact that, you know, that my kids have memories of fun, silly meals, you know, at the hospital, and not, you know, and not just sort of awkward, uncomfortable sitting around in a hospital, but really just like, this is how our family lives, and we are going to do it, whether we're at home or whether we're here, whether we're on vacation, whether, you know, that we take these traditions with us, and that we find joy in, you know, in the challenges of life.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on our show. I know you have Catholic All Year. Can you tell us a little bit about like the website, and maybe you mentioned the calendar. Are there any other products that you have that our audience might be interested in?
Yeah. So the calendar is sort of it's the first thing that we had in the shop, and it's the thing that you know, we use the most around our house. But I also have the Catholic All Year Compendium, that if people are looking for an introduction to this concept of liturgical living in the home, in the midst of a busy life, that's there. And then I also have the prayer companion, which goes along with it. And the Catholic All Year Compendium is for the planning ahead part. And mm-hmm. the prayer companion is, you know, if you just want something that you can open up on a feast day, and it's got the readings that are associated with the day, prayers and different devotions that are associated with that day or season. Mm-hmm. So I think those are, I really created, especially that second one, to be a resource for my family, so that we didn't have to dig through and find all of these things. They would just all be in one place. but yeah. And then, you can, I'm on, Instagram and Facebook. If people want to get a little glimpse of what some of this stuff looks like, we've got a TV show on Formed, it's called Catholic All Year at Home, that shows how we prepare for some of these feast days.
Wow, that's awesome. That's excellent. Well, thank you so much, Kendra, for being on the show and sharing this beautiful way of living. And I think our audience is really going to take to it. And honestly, it's, you know, it's something so simple, but also so beautiful to be able to try to implement. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.